Get comfortable and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Nick and Zoe Avery.
Hello once again and welcome to Spirit Work Show, the metaphysical and spiritual show with a difference. I'm Sylvie Avery.
I'm Mick Avery. Hi.
We are mediums who have chosen to serve humanity through our gifts of spirit communication. And on this show we focus on education. Through Mick's deep trance mediumship, we are able to bring you the truth as to the nature of your existence, direct from the other side of life. And on today's show, we'll be discussing spirit, questions about spirit, whatever you like. So if you'd like to join us with a question relating to this subject, the toll-free line is open, and in the US it's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And international callers, it's 001-530-876-3222, but that's not toll-free.
Well, hi. My name is Mick Avery, as well as Spirit's Work on the wonderful and ever-present bbsradio.com. Every Monday at 7 p.m. and every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific, we have another radio show which is called Spirit Teaching. And you can hear that on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific. Now, if you'd like to know more about us, get some of our books or CDs. You can also order an Akashic reading or any one of our other diagnostic services. We suggest you go visit our websites, which are the first one is www.spirit-teaching.com, and the second one is www.spiritsworkradio.com. Now, as regular listeners will know, each week live on the show, I channel an enlightened spirit guide called Gregory Hay, who is the main spokesperson for a group of evolved spirits called the White Cloud Group. Gregory himself had an earth life in the early 1700s in England, and he has come to share the wisdom he has gained access to with those of us still on the earth. We don't spend very long talking at the beginning of our shows because we try to save as much time as possible for the spirit world, and Gregory Hay always has so much way much to say anyway. Unfortunately, I miss it because I'm going to be the instrument and I'll have to wait to hear the recorded show afterwards. Anyway, I'm going to pass you back over to Sylv because I'm beginning to drivel.
Basically, the spirit world is starting to close Mick down now, so I'm getting ready to go into trance before
I start gibbering like a fool.
Finish speaking. So, anyway, I'd just like to say that Gregory is a spokesperson for the White Cloud Group, who are made up of scientific minds of all description, plus ordinary people. They're an educational team and have come to give us access to information that we need to know in order that we may move towards a more harmonious and peaceful way of life. To understand the nature of our existence and help us to evaluate our lives differently. When Mick is in trance, his spirit and his consciousness are transported and held by the scientific members of the White Cloud Group so that we can enjoy the complete personality of Gregory. So this is not Mick passing the information from a non-physical entity to us. It is completely lights out for Mick and welcome spirit guide Gregory Hay. And like Mick said, if you'd like to find out more about us from our website, just go to www.spirit-teaching.com. And if you'd like to go on to our website as well, we actually have a spring sale for our Akashic readings. So we have great discounts off of our 60-minute Akashic reading in particular. And also we do have, I think we have our merchandise site up now because we are doing merchandising products for you to buy. Sort of, some of it is Gregory memorabilia, some of it is, well, most of it is in one way or the other, I suppose, but we do have some really pretty mugs, T-shirts, fridge magnets, notebooks, posters, coasters, all sorts of things on there. So do take a look. It's cafepress.com, and that is on spirit-teaching.com. And do get in touch. That'd be lovely to hear from you. And tonight's show is actually part two of last week's suggestion by Nick, who put forward his subject for us to talk. He gave us some questions as well, so that was lovely. And we will continue on with those today. I think we might also squeeze some different ones in as well, if we've got time. Anyway, I do believe Gregory's with us now.
With love and light and blessings be upon your pathway, my dear friends. Hello.
Hi.
Hello, dear friend. Hello.
Okay.
Greetings to everyone.
I remember last week that we finished on saying, actually, that you were saying that in the spirit world, you can be... I know we have no time in the spirit world. You were saying that two beings can ignore each other, basically, and you can stay within that feeling of bliss for a very long time. Is it always a feeling of bliss when somebody does that? Or, again, we were saying that it denotes that this feeling is coming from somewhere.
Yes, quite so. Well, the feeling of bliss, where does that really come from? It actually comes from the ascendancy of your spirit, in its pure state, of course, of when your spirit first became detached, as it were, from that which is God. Now, my dear friends, it is not that, contrary to some people's belief, that your spirit is always trying to make up and be better so that it is then enabled to get back to God. That it's like you would be on a sort of a merry-go-round of life. And then it would be up to life's rich tapestry of events, I suppose, to then afford you the ability to be godlike or not. But the point is, really, in this situation, that your spirit is God. You don't have to become godlike because you are. The point that you may actually think about when you're looking at situations, sequences of events or behavior is really determined by whether your physical activity is godlike or not. What do you suppose God to be? And it depends upon that premise, upon that thread of morality, which then actually enables you to conceive of whether you are in fact behaving godlike or not. It really will depend upon where you think your consciousness lies. If you, as a physical being, subject yourself to extreme negativities, is that not too a part of that which God should be? Surely, unless you are saying that God is just one specific energy and does not encompass or behold all of the other energies, you would say then that being negative is a situation which is contrary to that which is God. So, in essence, then, it's something that God didn't make, is it? Is that what you're saying it is? If you look at subjects of behavior of human physical beings, you are looking at those behaviors which are attributed to being, whether they are God-like or not. If you, on the other hand, are glorifying in saints, or those you call angels, who actually may be, if the records of history are correct, have been engaged in fierce battles and actually taken the lives of those who are, so say, negatively or evilly placed? Does that not then place you as a being, not as a godlike state, but as a negative one for taking somebody else's life? What are you attributing then godlike energy to be? As I say, if you base yourself upon the auspices of scripture, or that you are supposed to acolyte, to premise your life upon, I want to behave like this or that saint. Well, actually, no, you don't, because most of them were those beings who were afforded such a lofty position, actually, by canonization or something like that. They have usually involved deaths of other beings. So that means to say, you are appraising that as a functioning aspect of what you call God to be. Yet taking physical life is not an attribute that is godlike. So all of those situations which you see different religious aspects of your physical life, who laud and give great profundity to beings who take other life, are then called gods because they are on the side of right. It depends upon what you decide your side of right is. And if it's at the behest of those who are being negative, that's like saying the beings who are negative are not enabled to become positive or righteous. You are saying that, in fact, all negative behavior, whatever it is a godlike, does not actually have any interaction with God. And maybe, in that respect, is never actually able to come back from the energy that they brought, the negativity that they brought, which is usually why people are condemned to a life in purgatory and hell, which of course doesn't exist either. So you have to understand that as a physical being, you're coming from just one limited marker of acceptable view, just because it suits your morality purpose. The inference to this is that God is purely one-sided and does not actually have or give you access to feelings of emotion that enable or allow you to feel pain. Quite simply, because pain is, in general, seen as a negative trait or a situation unleashed by negative beings. And I accept that physical beings, when in life of a physical state, tend to react negatively to certain situations. But that is because you are dealing with physical emotional behavior and reactionary situations. That doesn't mean to say that these do not exist either in the spirit world, because they do. I'm sorry, I do not mean to be moving around in circles in this, but it's just that as a spirit being and as a physical being, you have to really understand what is God, what is this energy? If it be that it's just a one-sided situation, how can you equate with life when it is completely coming full circle in everything else that you see?
Can I just say, actually, that a question of Nick's is the state of is an expanding one? And is a rational supposition to think that an all-knowing entity would cease to be curious, cease to be creative, Is it?
Yes, and a very realistic point of view he paints there. The ramifications of this, if you look at the situation of is, means that ordinarily you would think of a being who has known everything and is knowing of everything doesn't need to know anything else because he knows everything. So therefore the curiosity doesn't exist, surely. The point to make here is that energy is actually divisible. That in order for energy to exist, it has to be exuded, created. In order for anything to move along one straight line, or even a multitude of directions, you have to have a force field. You have to have shear forces. You have to have other aspects which are plausible within the physical realm, which are attributable by scientific understanding and logic. If you are looking at these glorious attributes of the energy of some superior being, what is it that you are saying? What are you actually admitting to? Is quantifying your energy and your reasoning to that energy as being greater than yours, of a higher vibration than yours, perhaps. Perhaps it is that godlike status is attributable because of behavior. But that's a subject of mind, is it not? Behavior is a situation which happens or not to, depending upon one's own liking to it and their decision-making process. You might not like the decisions God makes on your behalf. Why, if God is this all-knowing, or if is an all-knowing being that creates everything, why do we suppose this creation should, in fact, be given up? Quite simply because, well, it's obvious, if God is, or is all-knowing, how can the status quo be rationalized by the little mind of physical beings? Quite simply because physical beings do give up. Physical beings get tired. Physical beings become apathetic toward issues of life. Quite simply because they have had enough of it. Their decision-making process has broken down. Is has a decision-making process? Perhaps not. Perhaps it's automatic. Perhaps it's just something which continues unabated, whether you see it or not. If you think rationally about this whole situation, you will define that many physical beings at this time of life struggle with various ineptitudes that it has about its own reactionary status of physical life. Whether perhaps reacting to issues of the past, did I do well in that situation, or perhaps be unforgiving about issues of the past? Does God be in that way? Does the state of is have a forgiveness or have a state of attrition about some aspect that a physical life in their name or its name drew negativity and created sadness or something like that? You are actually trying to define God in your terms as a physical being because it's the only way that you can. You are applying physical earth emotion and the way that physical beings correlate with life and react to it. Because much of physical life is really all about your interactory process. The state of is it all-knowing? Well, yes, of course. All-knowing to the point of understanding that physical beings do what they do, their decision-making is the process it creates because of the status of whereabouts in the evolutionary pathway it has reached at that time. Does that mean to say that evolution has to keep doing a repetitive journey in order to become revolutionized? Whose opinion is that? That you are or you are not revolutionized? Who? Why should you become revolutionized in the first place? Why should you become more of the sum total of all your parts? If it is that I am ascertaining here as I am, that you are godlike, and that you are in fact this aspect of God, so therefore you shouldn't have to reorganize anything of your life, that you are perfect regardless of whatever behavior you create.
Well,
I'm not saying that, of course, at all. But what I am saying is that the state of God is, happens to be, encompassing in everything. That doesn't mean to say it's condoned, that morality or low energy is something which God appreciates and loves, although the state of is loves all things.
This is what Nick says. He says, is it that the state of is requires ongoing facets of experience and creativity if we are all fragments of God collectively?
Yes, well, quite so. God depends upon the interactory forces of all beings within the universe and as operational a part of the universe. The universe is continually being created.
Hmm.
Dimensions are not hatched, but they are perceived. By that perception God creates, the feeling of is multiplied, becomes energetic toward other aspects or auspices of dimension, not correlating to man's ingenuity or intelligence, but something completely at variance with it. Because if you look to many different dimensions, human beings inevitably fail in trying to grasp hold of it because it's of a different dimension. So you actually have the situation of failure arises purely because you're not within that vibration. If you were, for example, in a different structure of vibration, or if you were within a different vibration itself, that means that your interactivity, your perspective waveform was of a different frequency length, it would mean that you wouldn't see one another, as we've definitely described before. This then means that your perception of who you think you are and what you think you are, your perception of even yourself will change, let alone your thoughts and actions and feelings and desires and emotions. And this, of course, is exactly what happens when you come to the spirit world, when your consciousness becomes fixed with, eventually, that aspect of God which you are, which is your spirit, at the point of passing. And when you do that, you actually become enlivened by the fact that you are ultra-dimensionally significant. Whereas when you were in the physical life, you didn't feel that way. But you didn't feel that way because you didn't interact with the spirit that you are. If you interacted with your beautiful, pure spirit, you would be more beautiful and pure. It's quite simple. And for those people who are extremely negative, are only extremely negative because they're not beautiful and pure, because they don't recognize that energy. And they're not coming from that place. So if you want to become that which is you aspire godlike to be, I'm not saying that it's fixed as being one energy, but it's a matter of your own morality to understand that if you raise your vibration, become more of the subject of yourself, of the sum total of what you are, that is, that you create loving energy from within a self, from your reaction, your physical reaction and interaction with your spirit. By being enabling to do this, enables you to create a different waveform vibration of reality, which enables you to become closer to the purity. I know, purity happens to be the perception of one's own self, or perhaps the perception of what one regards purity to be. If you are looking at that which is always pure, how can purity be not encompassing some aspects or auspices of negativity? Quite simply, the reason is that it can't. is because negativity is something which is a degrading activity. It's something which creates lesser or causes destruction of another thought of love, perhaps, or even an activity of love. Negativity then creates dysfunction because of slowing the vibration. And when the vibration becomes still, what is it then? Does it that mean to say that the vibration of nothing becomes not something of God too? It's a difficult question, but one that I am bound to answer. The subject of an energy that is spirit becoming ungodlike, or down to the vibration of perhaps just a few cycles, maybe per day, of wavelengths of vibration. Does that mean to say this being is unsalvageable? Does it mean to say that even if the being has a wavelength of only one cycle per 1,000 years, does it mean to say that being is unsalvageable? It is always going to be removed from that which is God. Is it not possible that being also is a part of is? Yes, it is a part of is, of course. And it just means the relationship, the comprehension of one to the other has become lessened and has degraded the energy of is. And what we need to understand is how that is possible, so that we can complement negative energy, so that we can understand it as being a part of life, but also being something which is demonstrably degrading to self. And then we can begin to understand all of the energy that is.
Well, if you've got a question for Gregory, you're listening to Spirit's Work, and Gregory is being channeled by Mick Avery in Deep Trance. I'm Sylvie Avery, so if you'd like to join us with a question to do with, well, virtually anything to do with spirit, really, here, there, everywhere, the phone lines are open. It's a toll-free number. In the US, it's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And international callers, it's not toll-free, but it's 001-530-876-3222. Gosh, I've got a few questions that I want to say,
yes.
And I don't know which one to pick. I didn't know whether to continue along this line or just slightly go off at a tangent there.
You can do whatever you want.
Here we are then. Okay. You say, this is also from Nick, question from Nick, can our spirit without human experience know a human experience identity that they can bring with them to the spirit world? I know you have explained about borrowing another physical life experience to know it in order to know it before you have a life on earth. But if spirit didn't ever take on incarnations or lives physically, would we as spirit beings not be able to relate to this dynamic?
Oh, no, not at all. In fact, spirit, the point is that spirit is a multitude of energy which continues to interact with the human physical condition and also the other spirits who are having presently a human physical condition. So it is, first of all, that you have to understand, contrary to some beliefs that inhabit your physical world at this time, spirit does not have to have or evolve an actual physical life in order to become recognizable. It is not that spirit, in order to gain a face, if you will, in order to gain an attribute of physical life, has to adopt physical life in order to do so. It may well be that the spirit decides to have the form of a certain being because because it likes the look of that certain being or that kind of genetic. It doesn't necessarily mean that is what the spirit is. So does that mean to say that spirit are trying to run a deception here or an illusion? No, of course not. It means to say that spirit in the spirit world, as spirit are always in the spirit world, continue to create and help others who are either having a physical life experience or who have already used that synergy, that adaptability, perhaps. And maybe as a physical being, they didn't actually adapt very well at all to their physical life, and that they drew the short straw in many aspects, like children in Africa or wherever they happen to be passing like flies with starvation at that time. They themselves, you could say, inhabited the physical world purely through genetics, because they didn't actually, why should they, anyone want to have an existence as a child of Africa who lasts but 3 days, because it starves to death? Of course, it's a perfectly plausible understanding that through the emotional tie that physical beings have, that they will want to know the reasons for this. If you actually, as a spirit being, try to understand and engage with your emotional tie about what it is, a physicality, and what creates that physicality, you are only looking at it from the aspect of physical being and matter science, the evolutionary processes, and what your species has gone through. However, in the spirit world, it may well be that before you had this physical life, that you decided through your creational agility, because you were a loving spirit being of that godlike energy, which of course many spirit are in the spirit world, that it may well be that you yourself wanted to perhaps experience some kind of other shard of life because it's just interesting. So it may well be that your attraction is toward horses, as we know yours is. What you did as a physical being may well have been not just interactory with the conscious state of horses as they had come and had a physical life upon the earth and then passed back to the spirit world at the end of their life, and what, for whatever reason, that end of life was brought. Your interactivity with that consciousness element of horses, and of course that they're guides, they are still guides of yours now, means that the reason of that energy is because you assimilated with them as a spirit being. You blended with them. You raised your vibration, you altered your vibration to understand their state of being. And that enabled you, as a physical being, to continue that relationship, as beautiful as it is. The situation then between your spirit and the spirit of horse became perhaps embedded, as some do. They actually wear the clothes of some other being. So that means to say, you would have sought the permission of these other beings and said, please may I borrow your physical clothes, your life aspect, to see what that felt like. Now, if you were of a low energy, if you were of a negative spirit when you did this, if your situation was less than is like, less than godlike, less than, or that you attracted negative energy because of institutions of consciousness. Yes, spirit has consciousness before the physical voyage, because you have intention, because you have an attribute that you want to create and achieve positive situations between beings. Usually, most beings in the spirit world, before they ever have a physical life experience, or even after, usually become drawn to some kind of service toward other beings who are having a physical life or who have already had a physical life. Maybe it may be to do with interactory situations, contractual situations, to do with the evolution of life and the processes of that life. As a horse, being a fight or flight animal, well, it's generally a flight animal, it tends to be that it is the sacrificial being toward other animals sustaining their lives. So does this mean it's a lesser being? Well, unfortunately, due to the physical trauma of emotional ties of life, human beings tend to think that it is a lesser being. But the point I'm making here is that as a spirit, you were actually asking of the permission of this being. Can I please try on what it felt like to be you? And as the other being would say, yes, if your vibration is loving enough toward me, I will acquiesce to your request. I will allow you to borrow my physical memory, that which I had of my life. And that's exactly what you do. And you have to respect it, revere it, treasure it, beautify it from that interactory experience, because what they are doing is giving you an energy of love. They're giving to you energies of love because you have given energy of love to them. What's loving to them? Because you are showing your ultimate respect of them. You are not saying that you are greater than this being, but you are recognizing their beauty, their attributes of what, how God displays itself, how is displays itself.
So you can do that with animal or person, or
yes,
any being, basically, if they
yes,
give you their permission,
yes,
so that you can experience how they feel, think, sense, and everything about them, basically.
Yes. It's only a temporary situation, of course, a temporary link. And as a pure spirit being, you are not then allowed to or create negative situations. What do I mean by that? You are not allowed. That means to say that someone's watching over you. Yes, the being who you are borrowing is watching over you.
So how long could you do
this for? Physical memory. Oh, well, it's a short-term situation. It generally tends to be, perhaps, if you're looking at it in terms of Earth physicality, the aspects of time, you would perhaps do this for a few days or something like that. If you need to action this as a part of the purpose of what that feels like, it may well be that the spirit of that being doesn't actually retire from the memory, but just simply opens themselves up so that you become a part of their memory and their walk of life. That is a very loving embrace, a really beautiful interaction that you have then. It means that you are joining and blending with that being as they are welcoming you into their life history, their life pathway.
It's very difficult for us to get our heads around that, isn't it? Because of our, you know, because of our physical body and that
yes,
sort of thing.
Yes, because of the island that you've already created.
Absolutely,
yes. I understand that.
But you also say that, you know, we could be a doorkeeper or guide to someone else.
Yes.
Many, many times.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, we see that as being a long time, don't we? Because we live in, you know, under
in
the auspices
of time.
In
the matter of time,
absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. So we see that as a long time if these people live to a ripe old age. So obviously, because it's no time at all in the spirit world, and that's just all part of the whole schooling, isn't it, really? And
yes.
So all doorkeepers or guides have to have had a physical life on Earth before they do that?
Have to have had a physical life on Earth. Well, if I said that it was yes, then you would say, well, what happened before there were people or what happened before there was this or that
organism,
and who was it that actually gauged that organism was able to have a conscious being, living state, and therefore be attributable to a quest of God, or that spirit was even alive or allowed to be, and who brought about that allowance, gave that permission. You are then looking at different avatars, I suppose, different marshals of how you perceive conscious living state to be, and how its interactivity with living tissue means that it becomes quantifiable. Are we saying, for the purposes of this accuracy, that cave dwellers did not have a spirit? Well, actually, I've met quite a few. So, in actual fact, I haven't seen or met with any facts that they are particularly aggressive, or that they are particularly one form of energy or another. They had their life to lead at that time of evolutionary state.
They've got a spirit, though, haven't they?
Of course,
you don't mean that literally.
No, I'm not. I'm just really playing devil's advocate here in the way that human and physical beings think, in trying to help you to relate to what spirit actually is. That's my point, really. Physical people tend to think that it's only to do with the attention or attraction of conscious living understanding, which means then that it's actually attributable to the concept of whether you actually have a conscious mind or not. Now, that's actually part of the premise that Sikhs and many other religious understandings from the Eastern philosophies actually bring to in their minds, that you have to be of a specific caste in order to be attributable toward God. And that is why it is that other castes who are not are actually shunned from certain specific forms of work. A certain tribe of Sikh or whatever may not do certain jobs of work, quite simply because it's either beneath them or that they have not attained the right evolutionary status of their claim to life. So that means to say that being will never attain anything, because they have already been denigrated by their own portion of life within the physical hierarchy. And that is something which has nothing to do with their spirit, or to their behavior, or what they create, the beauty they create within a self. Does that mean to say that they then become attributable, they then can mutate to some other being, or that they can lift their vibration eventually, finally? They can lift their being state to a different, higher vibration, perhaps to some other being who decides that that's the case for them to fit in. It isn't at all. That is the case I'm making here. People tend to place their physical indiscretions, their anomalies of morality, how they think this is a good thing to do and how they think that piece of behavior isn't. But it's not that at all. It's just that they're fitting into the morass of society, of what that society actually happens to dictate at the time. The morality of society that you see now in your present-day behavior tends to be this particular energy. And yet, within times gone by, we see you applauding other energies of different time states, and yet they were absolutely barbaric. And I don't understand the reason for it. Why would anyone want to turn back the clock, say, to the Egyptian times or ancient Greek or whatever, when they used to put people to death by the sword? Why would you want to live in that time when such barbarity was so commonplace? Well, when in actual fact, of course, you cringe at the whole concept of it when somebody comes up to you in the street with a machete and starts hacking you to bits. But that's actually because it's alien to your present physical life. But it isn't, because if you look in other places in the world upon which you live, they're doing just that. And you're still allowing it to happen as physical beings. You're still allowing it to emboss the conscious living state of physical beings in the present morality, what you are going to do is perhaps change and alter the state of what you perceive that morality to be. And yes, you can either allow it or you can disagree with it and raise your vibration, raise your loving awareness so that you become more aware. That's the key. That doesn't mean to say that you don't react.
You mentioned in the halls of learning, before we have had a physical life on Earth, shall we say, that you could have been very knowledgeable and knowing about many things. You may have written books and given many lectures to other people.
Yes.
And been being a very knowing being.
It's to do with your ancient knowledge. Yes.
Okay. And then, so we come to have this physical life here on Earth. And I'm not saying that you can't do it anywhere else either, but we'll talk about the Earth at this moment. So could these people be able to denigrate their vibration, these particular people denigrate their vibration to the point that when they pass back to the spirit world, they actually, because of their negativity, they dwell in the lower astral plane, being a nuisance to other people as negative energies. Could these people be those people? Is it possible to have done
to
it
denigrate
so
that life.
Wrong? Yeah, to have
yes.
got that so wrong.
Yes, it is possible, quite simply because it depends entirely upon whether that physical existence understands their spirit makeup, whether that physical existence actually blends with the energy of love and reasoning. If you blend with the energy of love and reasoning, then you raise your vibration to that which you had been before you had a physical life. Don't forget, not necessarily, that means because you've never been that being, or you've never recognized it. Actually, probably, as a child, you may well have recognized the fact of your beauty and inner state, but that actually it may well have been driven out of you, and physical life chaos can sometimes create that pathway for you.
And I know you say that all spirit that come here to have this earth life as a spirit being, that your spirit is pure anyway.
Absolutely.
So you
pure,
don't actually
yes.
bring the baggage with you because
no.
we don't go along with the karma theory.
No.
So of something.
No, because karma is actual, is not revisited again and again and again. You deal with the karma you create in your physical life. That does not mean to say that children or whosoever who are slaughtered by some other being are there at the behest of their own karma. They're not. That is because they are being used by another being to vent their own karma. And it's their willful act. It's not the being who's the victim.
Absolutely. So, yes, I've lost my thread of thought now.
You may repeat it.
Yeah, no, I can't remember now. But anyway, so I was saying about them, you being a pure spirit before you come here.
Yes.
It's not your spirit, and you don't bring other baggage with you from anything else, okay, except you bring the experience of the other experiences that you have, if you can still tap into it like you can when you're a child.
Yes, that
okay.
is true.
And not everybody, obviously, has maybe done, learnt and expanded their mind or their consciousness to the point where they have done all of these things in the halls of learning, written books and
yes, yes.
studied and become.
They don't necessarily remember all of that.
No, but it's these people. I'm just wondering what sort of being actually. I know it's all to do with the negativity that we are in to make people be like this, but I'm wondering what sort of being, is there a limit to what sort of being can become one of those entities who are, I don't know, poltergeistic or whatever, when they
yes.
pass back, so that don't actually go back to the spirit world fully.
Yes.
That just become bothersome to people.
Yes.
So could these people have a spirit within them that is
beautiful.
Absolutely.
A
beautiful, learned
spirit. Absolutely.
I mean.
Yes. Yes.
So you can. This earth plane can actually make that much of a difference to somebody.
Yes, absolutely. That's why I'm saying, friend, that every single being has a pathway of forgiveness. Every single being has a pathway back so that they can raise their vibration away from the intensive negativity or anger they create. And don't forget, friend, that sometimes it will be the case that when a spirit comes to have a physical living existence, that they actually bring attachments with them of negative influence from the spirit world. It may not be that their energy is all beauty and love and light, quite simply because they may have attachments that are working with them, perhaps because of the influence of situations of surrogacy between the parents or whatever that are created there. That negative energy is something which is brought about.
No, I think you have to explain that.
So what I'm saying, friend, is that it may well be that you have this beautiful being, beautiful, shall we say, like Jesus, a beautiful being who comes and decides to have an earth physical life. I understand you have many children who you attribute beautiful qualities to.
Okay.
And it may well be, however, that some children who come and have, or some beings who come and have a physical life in their beautiful, pure, precious state also may have with them other energies which are transient, which are actually negatively influenced, and that they do so because of the attraction perhaps brought about by their parents.
Okay, but that only happens once they hit the earth plane.
Yes, that is true. They only materialize once they hit the earth plane. Yes.
Right, so are you saying that they are sort of waiting in the wings because they
yes.
have some aggravation towards the
yes.
parents?
Yes, so absolutely so. Or maybe just it's to do with humanity itself.
Yes, but they didn't bring them with them from the spirit world.
No.
No, that's,
no.
That's for a minute what I thought you were saying.
Well, sometimes it can be. That sometimes, you see, it can be to do with the interactivity that spirit has had to do with other situations. Don't forget, you have been a beautiful spirit being for millions of years. Your interactivity has been with many other different life forms,
okay.
many other different beings. Mm. You have perhaps been a counselor, you have perhaps been a mediator between different life forms in order to try to bring about a comparison of forgiveness in their energy.
So you will. So you can still have enemies before you come here.
Absolutely.
It's a bit, I think everybody thinks, you know, spirit world, sweetness and light. You
yes,
know,
it's if a complete we have, myth, friend.
So negativity does occur like that in the spirit world as
yes,
well.
Yes, yes, that's the point, really. And it's just that if you, as a spirit being, are loving, all-loving and encompassing, that your intention is something that you wish to create love for others, that means not that you suffer them or not that you suffocate them in that you have an expended energy that you think is superior to somebody else, but rather that you are inviting and engaging with that being, respectful of that being, so that you engage with them. I am saying it is possible that even despite these energies, you may actually have with you, or perhaps that are attracted to you, like beings of a planetary force or size, have attracted particles, have attracted molecules of different gases and different structures of mineralization. You too may have attracted other elements to do with your interactive forces during your millions of years as a spirit being, from the time at which you moved away from that which is life beautiful, life perfect, life the creation of God.
Wow. And so it goes on, folks. Very interesting. Well, I think we've come to time, and
very well,
thank you very much, Gregory.
With love and light and blessings be upon your pathway, as always, as we endeavour. to open your eyes to the world.
God bless. I hope you've enjoyed the show. I'd just like to mention, I'm yodeling, our website, spirit-teaching.com, where you can join us and have a good browse through. My name is Sylvie Avery, and you've been listening to Spirit's Work. And until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.
Crazy little